Welcome to The Water Faucet, quenching your thirst for answers on drinking water. I'm Harry Harmon, a professional engineer with over 45 years' experience. I've designed hundreds of potable water projects which supply drinking water to everyday people just like you. Join me for an exciting voyage of discovery where I will answer your questions about what you deserve most and can't live without: clean, safe, and abundant drinking water. Thank you for joining me here at The Water Faucet. Let's talk about boil orders and do not drink orders. Maybe you've heard about them on the news, or maybe you've experienced one. They may sound like the same thing, but they are very different. Boil orders are issued when the possible contaminants are either pathogens or volatile organic compounds. Boiling water for at least 5 minutes kills pathogens and turns volatile organic compounds into a gas which is boiled off. Do not drink orders are issued when the possible contaminants are non-volatile organic compounds or inorganic compounds like arsenic. Boiling makes these contaminants more concentrated. The National Weather Service issues Tornado Watch when meteorologists observe conditions that might spawn a tornado. It is a preemptive action to give you time to seek shelter should a tornado actually be sighted. Your public water supply either issues a boil order or a do not drink order for similar reasons. Your public water supply employs state-licensed water system operators. They are continuously monitoring the operation of both the water treatment plant and the distribution system. When they observe conditions that might indicate your water may have become contaminated, they issue either a boil order or a do not drink order. These orders typically remain in effect until further testing indicates that your water is safe. But this could take a few days or even weeks before it can be lifted. In most cases, the storm passes without a tornado forming, and in most cases, your water supply has probably always been safe to drink. But don't be cynical about these orders. Take them seriously for your protection and the protection of your loved ones. Your water treatment plant has been designed and constructed with processes unique to your source of water. Your state, EPA, or public health department has reviewed the designs before issuing a construction permit. This ensures that the selected process produces a safe and clean drinking water. Licensed operators frequently test a battery of parameters throughout the day. The results are recorded and sent to the EPA monthly. The EPA monitors the operation of the utility to ensure compliance with drinking water standards. This includes periodic inspections of the treatment facility and the distribution system by a local branch of the EPA. Chlorine is a chemical that, when used in proper dosages and sufficient contact time, kills pathogens, inhibits the growth of new pathogens in the distribution system. Chlorine has been added to drinking water since around 1914 in order to disinfect it and maintain a disinfectant level throughout the distribution system. Before 1914, most public water supplies just pumped the water directly to you from wells, lakes, or rivers without any treatment whatsoever. For example, the city of Chicago began chlorinating Lake Michigan water to control the spread of typhus and cholera in 1916, but did not start filtering water until 1946. The city of Gary began sending Lake Michigan water to its residents in 1907. But the water filtration plant was not constructed until 1954. And it wasn't until the late 1970s when the Safe Drinking Water Act required all water utilities to begin treatment, including filtration and disinfection. Surface water can contain parasites like Cryptosporidium. Chlorine does not effectively render Cryptosporidium harmless. When these are encountered, other types of enhanced treatment and disinfection are used, such as ozone or ultraviolet light, or a combination of the two. But chlorine is always added to maintain a disinfectant residual in the water mains. But under no circumstances can the chlorine residual drop below a half a part per million. Also, regulations limit the maximum amount of chlorine residual to 4 parts per million. Under normal circumstances today, water is safe and clean when it enters your distribution system, but problems can occur after it leaves the water treatment plant. So monitoring of the distribution system is conducted to ensure the safety of your drinking water. There are several parameters of primary concern, but there is one that results in more boil orders than others. That is when the water main pressure decreases to less than 20 psi. Even at 20 psi, contaminants entering the water system is unlikely, but it is the threshold used to issue a boil order before pressure can decrease further and contamination could enter. A boil order is also issued when there's a major disruption at a surface water treatment plant which results in an inadequate disinfection or a finished water turbidity which exceeds 1 NTU, or a suspicion or direct knowledge by the operator that the water supply has become contaminated. NTU stands for Nephelometer Turbidity Unit. Believe me when I say it takes a lot of practice to say that correctly, which is why we typically refer to it as NTU. Basically, it's a fancy term for an electronic measurement of how cloudy the sample of water has become. For comparison, in order for a swimming pool to appear crystal clear even in the deep end, it cannot have a turbidity of more than one half of an NTU. A glass of water with a turbidity of even 4 or 5 NTU would appear clear. It takes a sophisticated instrument like a nephelometer to measure turbidity levels as low as 5/100ths of an NTU, or even 1 NTU. Most surface water treatment plants have online continuous turbidity monitoring equipment that provides an alarm in the event of a turbidity spike. Turbidity, or the cloudiness, is not the real problem. It is the pathogens that it might hide. So turbidity is used as an indicator the water is properly treated and in combination with a satisfactory chlorine residual is safe to drink. A water treatment plant is very much like a power station producing electricity for you to use, and the water mains are very similar to the power distribution system. We've all probably experienced problems with our electricity, including power spikes that can damage sensitive electrical equipment, brownouts, or total loss of power. Wouldn't it be nice if the power company warned you of these problems before you lost your computer or widescreen TV or ruined all the food in your refrigerator? That is what the boil order and do not drink order is intended to do. The power distribution system is the most vulnerable part of the electrical system, which is used for getting the power that has been produced to your home. The power system can be disrupted by lightning strikes, cars or trucks hitting the power stations, and even trees falling on the power lines or heavy ice storms bringing down power lines. Water distribution systems are also vulnerable. Great care is taken to design and construct water mains. However, many water mains are 60 to 100 years old, or even older. Water mains in Gary, Indiana and Flint, Michigan were constructed in 1907, which makes them 114 years old and still in use. Occasionally, these water mains can crack or break, which causes a loss of water pressure. Anytime you see water bubbling up from the street, or a pool of water, even though it hasn't rained in days, call your utility and report a possible main break. They will inspect the area and determine if a main break has actually occurred. They may already suspect a break has occurred somewhere in the system and only need your help to find the location. Many water main breaks or leaks may not result in a visible water leak. The water just leaks into the ground unnoticed. Because water mains are typically placed between 4 and 6 feet below ground, especially in cold weather climates, they are less vulnerable to damage, vandalism, or freezing. But being underground makes these water mains impossible to inspect and quickly find leaks or damage, unlike overhead power conductors. And repairs require excavation. Excavators must be very careful not to damage other utilities such as gas mains, sewer lines, buried electrical systems, as well as telephone or cable TV. Fire hydrants are the most vulnerable part of the water distribution system. They can be hit by vehicles and cause a water main break. If you see a fire hydrant not standing straight up, call and report it. A vehicle may have hit it, and rather than report it, just leaves the scene. But the underground pipe could be leaking and the water is entering the ground. If you enjoy watching movies as much as I do, you've probably seen a car hitting a hydrant on a busy city street and a stream of water spraying high into the air. That only happens in Hollywood, or only in warm states, where the temperatures never get below freezing for long periods. That's because in warm states, hydrants frequently have the operating valve near the top of the hydrant, so the part you see above ground is pressurized. In northern states, where freezing temperatures occur most of the winter, hydrants have a valve below ground, so the part you see is dry. Hitting this type of fire hydrant would not typically result in a stream of water spraying into the air. Hydrants and the valve control rod are made as breakaway pieces. If the hydrant is hit, it breaks at a specific and easily repairable joint, and so does the valve control rod. This breakaway feature typically allows the valve to remain closed, but in some cases the valve can become dislodged and begin leaking. One of the problems that plagues a distribution system occurs in the summer. Sometimes on a hot summer day, kids will open a hydrant and let the loosened caps create a fountain-like spray so they can run through the cool water. When this happens, water pressure decreases, which can hamper firefighting. Also, if enough hydrants are opened in this way, the water pressure can decrease to the point a boil order may have to be issued. While cooling under a spraying hydrant sounds like fun, it can have serious consequences, so let's not do that. And if you see it happening, please call your water department. Remember, any time water pressure decreases below 20 psi, a boil order must be issued, affecting everybody in the neighborhood. Another reason a boil order or do not drink order would be issued is if untreated surface water accidentally entered a well or finished water storage tank during a flooding event. It means untreated surface water could inadvertently be pumped into the water mains. Untreated surface water could possibly contain a variety of pathogens, which could cause illness, especially in people who have severely compromised immune systems. While the chlorine residual maintained in the water mains would help, the normal chlorine levels may not be sufficient to deal with the raw surface water. So a boil order is issued, and depending on the type of contaminants, a do not drink order may be issued. You need to take the boil order seriously, but realize that it is only a warning that contamination might have occurred, so there's no reason to panic. Unless told otherwise, the water is safe to use for flushing toilets, washing clothes, watering your plants, or any activity that would not result in the water entering your mouth. Any water that might enter your mouth should be boiled and cooled before use, so appropriate care needs to be taken during bathing or showering, especially of small children or infants. Washing dishes may also require special care. Some dishwashing machines may have a sanitize cycle that heats the water beyond the temperature provided by your water heater. The National Sanitation Foundation, which is actually a product testing company, awards certain appliances with certifications. The National Sanitation Foundation and the American National Standards Institute are two agencies which jointly created a standard for certifying that dishwashers are capable of sanitizing your dishes during the rinse cycle. Their standard, Standard 184, is issued when a dishwasher can reach at least 150 degrees Fahrenheit during the final rinse. That's the temperature that kills most pathogens, including E. coli and Legionella. So look for this in your instructions for your particular model of dishwasher. For the purpose of sanitizing your dishes, many higher-end dishwashers can reach a temperature of 170 degrees Fahrenheit. Most public health departments consider sanitizing to be capable of reducing the number of infectious organisms to a level considered safe for public health. So if you don't normally use a sanitizing cycle, use it until the boil order is lifted. If you hand wash your dishes, I recommend adding a small amount of chlorine bleach to the sink water to ensure any bacteria or other pathogens that could be present are killed before washing or rinsing your dishes. Make sure that the final rinse water uses either water that has been boiled and cooled or water with chlorine added. The American Water Works Association and EPA considers a chlorine solution containing 200 parts per million of chlorine to provide an instantaneous kill of bacteria on surfaces. A solution containing 200 parts per million may sound like a lot, but it really isn't. You only need 3 teaspoons of standard household bleach containing 5 or 6% chlorine in each gallon of water for the desired concentration. you'll find that this concentration of chlorine is actually quite mild, but is more than sufficient to kill bacteria such as novavirus, MRSA, E. coli, and COVID-19. If you hand wash your dishes, it would be a good idea to test this concentration on the back of your hand first, as some people are a little more sensitive to chlorine solutions than others. If you need them, you can find rubber gloves used for washing dishes at your local grocery store. During the height of the pandemic, when disinfection wipes were hard to find, my wife and I made up a 200 part per million chlorine solution in a spray bottle and used it to disinfect surfaces. If you want to make up a 16-ounce spray bottle, you only need 3/8 teaspoon of standard household bleach to make up the 200 parts per million chlorine solution. When standard chlorine bleach was in short supply and very difficult to find, I found our local hardware store had plenty of pool shock. Pool shock is chlorine used to shock swimming pools. Pool shock has a much higher concentration of chlorine than standard household bleach. Pool shock I used from my local hardware store contained 12.5% chlorine. If you use pool shock to make up your 200 part per million chlorine solution, the quantity of chlorine needed in a gallon of water would be decreased by about half or maybe a little more. Another thing that is sometimes overlooked is ice from your refrigerator's ice maker or ice trays that you have in your freezer. Boil orders are issued immediately when conditions are noticed. Many times homeowners are not home, so they don't receive the notice for a few hours. If you're not sure if your ice in the trays may be affected, empty them and refill them after the order is lifted. If you have an automatic ice maker, turn it off until the boil order is lifted. Don't forget to dump any ice made before the boil order was issued. If you have a refrigerator with a water dispenser, stop using it. After the boil order is lifted, flush the water lines in the refrigerator and replace the filter. Every refrigerator with a water dispenser and ice maker has a filter. Many are designed to filter out most particles, and many can filter out lead and other contaminants, but only for the number of gallons listed on the package. Some modern refrigerators warn you when it's time to replace the filter. If you're like me, I frequently depress the reset button until it clears and continue using the old filter. I know, shame on me for not setting a better example, but you should replace the filter after the boil order is lifted. And while we're talking about flushing lines, remember to go around your house and flush all the toilets 2 or 3 times and open up the faucets for a few minutes to flush out all the water from the lines in your house to ensure that safe, clean water is in all the pipes. Don't forget the outside hose valves and any unused guest showers or sinks as well. If you have a water softener or reverse osmosis system, these should be flushed as well. The softener should be regenerated as soon as possible after the boil order has been lifted. The high concentration of sodium chloride used to regenerate the resin will also disinfect it. I would contact your RO system supplier and ask about the proper procedure to follow once the boil order is lifted. Well, that does it for this episode. I hope you found it informative. Join me in 2 weeks for another journey into the fascinating world of your drinking water. The more you know, the more you'll appreciate your drinking water and what the professional public water supply operators do to provide it to you. Remember to email me any questions, concerns, or topics for future episodes to thewaterfaucetpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Harry Harmon for The Water Faucet.